Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club. Did I do the intro right just then?
I think you did, yeah. Correct, well done.
Cool.
Polished off. We're back in the seat now. We're back in the saddle.
Yeah,
we know what we're doing. There's anyway. Betty jumping off the bed just on time.
There you go. Yeah, thanks, she's a Betty. Pro as well.
She's back really... in the saddle as well. How are you, mate?
I'm okay. I'm sitting in my study. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at a plant that I've had for a long time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like some kind of succulent type thing. But it's recently developed these, they're like tentacles. Like, but they're quite phallic things.
Oh.
They're like fingery tentacles. They're like reaching up looking for something. And they're just so overtly sexual. I just want to cut them off. But I don't want to hurt it.
Have you got like sex in the brain?
Maybe I do, but... I just, every time I see them, I'm just kind of recoil. Should I tell you what else I've got that's quite phallic?
Go on.
I've got a hose, right? You've seen it. It's black and it's like elasticated.
I was talking about this hose in B&Q this afternoon.
Wait.
I said to Mr. Gabby, I said, hey, Mr. Gabby, should we get one of those phallic hoses that John has?
Because when it fills with water, it looks... like something else filling with another substance.
Yeah, it
blood.
Does. It engorges.
It engorges.
And it becomes stiffer.
It does. And every single time, because like John's got really into gardening recently.
Oh, yeah.
And every time he waters the plants, I get weird. Ooh, I get a bit like freaked out by it.
So
anyway. We started this conversation well, I think.
Well, there you go. Right, should we do the message board?
Yeah, let's hit the BFM message board.
I don't know about you, Emma, but I've been glued to Carfest's stories this weekend.
Absolutely, me too.
Why have we been glued to Carfest's Instagram stories, Emma?
Well, because Carfest North is happening as we speak, which obviously is like a must go to event on the social calendar. But then there's another version of Carfest happening at the end of August.
Carfest South, for those not in the know.
Yeah. Yes, there are some musical headliners. Yes, there's going to be stuff for petrolheads, but also...
you and me.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be there. Are we headlining?
I mean, I think we can call it headlining the infertility stage.
Yeah. We're the infertility stage. I mean, yeah. We're going to be doing great stuff.
Crazy news. If anyone doesn't know what Carfest is, and I wouldn't blame you, it is Chris Evans' kind of, it's like a smorgasbord of festival. Because it's got it's got books, it's got really fast cars, it's got music, it's got yoga.
And it's got infertility.
It's got infertility now, yeah. Now it's got infertility.
If you haven't already got your ticket, then get it.
Saturday 27th of August, we are going. We are speaking. Yeah, it might be a bit of a kind of a kid. There's lots of kids there, I think, as well as petrol heads.
Yeah, so
all of the ideal kids of the petrol heads will also be there. So it might not be the ideal festival to go to if you are feeling sensitivo, which I think is fair enough. I wanted to flag that just in case.
So we've literally just told everyone to go, and now we've just told everyone not to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. John's really excited because he likes cars.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Gabby's that excited. Doesn't drive, obviously, so that's probably why. I'm quite excited, though. Yes, so there is that, guys. That's very exciting. We'll be there talking, obviously, about our book, which you can also buy. You don't have to go to Carfest to hear us speak the book. You can
just
buy
listen
it.
To any episode of the podcast in the last year and a half.
you can yes. buy the book.
Please buy the book. Yeah. Yes. Get it off Amazon or get it off bookshop.org or get it from Waterstones. Like, take your pick. Or yes. like US. Because is it out in the US yet?
Yeah, I think you can buy it in the US. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, and you can buy it in Australia and other territories as well. Sure.
And for those of you who haven't heard us banging on about it, it's an essential guide to infertility. So it covers the whole gamut of experiences you go through when you are trying for babies and trying failing.
Yeah.
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 What else, Emma?
Well, who are we speaking to today, Gabs?
Well, we are speaking to the amazing Amy Davies, who is an interior designer.
Yeah, and so basically she has appeared on Interior Design Masters, which I finally got around to watching a couple of weeks ago because I loved the last couple of series.
I just didn't
manage to watch it like while it was on for reasons that are too boring to explain. But I finally got around to watching it, and when Amy was talking about her infertility, I shed a tear.
Not only have you got a delicious slice of Amy Davies, you've also got a, what we call this, a mousse-bouche of Wagon.
So basically what happened last week was that the government announced its women's health strategy. It included a load of stuff, including basically that same-sex female couples no longer have to prove their infertility by paying for between 6 and 12 rounds of IUI. So they will get automatically, I say they will. The details are very unclear at the moment, but the idea is that they automatically get however many funded IUI cycles. I think it was 6 funded IUI cycles before they can then move on to be referred for IVF. That is a huge, huge thing. And Wagon, Whitney and Megan are two kind of gorgeous influencers who have really fought for this. They took this to court.
Launched campaign
And so they've had a huge part in this. So we managed to speak to them on the day that this was announced by coincidence. And they literally were, I would say, fizzing.
Yes, they were. They were very, very excited, which was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should probably add that single women were not included in this. So they are still kind of affected by that unfair thing of having to prove that they're infertile as single women before they can get funded IVF from the NHS, which a lot of people have kind of flagged. Well, we've been talking about it. I just wanted to say it there as well in recognition, because that is still a shitter for those guys.
That's interesting. Someone messaged us to say step parents are included. So until recently, well, until now, currently, if you have a stepchild and your partner has a child, then you are not allowed funded NHS IVF.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of really good, exciting stuff, but I think we really just need to wait and see.
There's a lot of work to do, I think, in terms of proper equality for people. But I think it's good.
I think no one's quite clear about whether it's, you know, CCGs are going to be able to kind of pick and choose or whether they'll have to offer this stuff. So that's the interesting thing. Okay, what else is there? Professor Tim is back again today.
He sure is.
He is talking about hair dye.
Yes, hair dye. Oh my God, that is one that I definitely avoided.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's it. That's enough.
So if you want to get in touch with us, obviously you can reach us on Instagram.
At BigFatNegative.
You can reach us on Twitter.
At BigFatNegative.
You can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
You can buy us a coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't want to buy the book or kind of feels like they might want to still do something to say thanks, there's a, we've got a, it's called Ko-Fi. Ko-Fi?
Well, yeah. I mean, I pronounce in a West Country accent, Ko-Fi. you basically can just buy us, like, send us some money for the cost of the coffee.
So you can chuck us the price of a flat white by giving us a coffee. Yeah, it's and if you're looking for that, it's on our Instagram link. It's probably the quickest way to find it in our bio on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'd also love it if you could today just go and write a little review, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people to find the podcast. And if a lot of you go and do it on the same day, then it really like gives the show a boost.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. Love it. Should we do it now? Come on, guys, let's do it now. Why don't we all just do it now? Yeah. Stop what you're doing. We'll keep listening.
Just even if you're just like 5 stars, good podcast. That's fine.
Just be brief. Fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But just like anything would be really, really helpful.
Man, that would be so nice. Yes, thank you very much to those of you who are doing that right now. Much obliged.
Absolutely. What we'll do is we'll play the Wegan interview really quickly, then it'll go to me and Gabby having a chat, and then we'll do the main event, Amy.
Indeed.
And then you'll hear Professor Tim. It's basically a magazine show today.
It is. It's huge. It's huge. Morning.
All right.
Let's get on with it then, hadn't we?
Yeah, back to the studio. We are talking to Whitney and Megan, aka Wegan, aka the women who have achieved a huge thing this week.
The women what changed the world.
Yay! guys, do you want to kind of explain what's happened?
Yeah, take it away.
I mean, it's hard to succinctly put this, but basically we're wife and wife, and we've been campaigning for fertility equality for a couple of years, which firstly included a petition, secondly included legal action, and basically a lot of media awareness. And then today the government have announced the Women's Health Strategy, which has a lot of lovely stuff in it. One of the points that we're super excited about is that they are removing the barriers for same-sex female couples to be able to create a family, which is absolutely amazing. They are removing the fact that we were made to prove that we're infertile before the NHS would help us. So essentially what that means is they are going to actually give same-sex female couples fertility treatment. So they said they're going to do 6 rounds of artificial insemination, and if that doesn't work, then IVF. So that's very, very exciting.
Which is amazing, because the old policy was you used to have to self-fund 6 to 12 rounds of IUI, which can range anywhere from 25 to 50K before you are eligible to have one free round of IVF.
Depending on obviously the
postcode lottery as well, which is another...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. So what you're saying is that now same-sex couples can have the same treatment as heterosexual couples, but without having to pay 50 grand potentially.
Absolutely. Yes, the gay tax has been removed.
Wow. I mean, that's fucking transformative.
It is, because it really was putting people, it was an unfair financial burden. So regardless of not whether you can or cannot afford it, it's still an unfair financial burden that shouldn't be placed on the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah.
Whether it was done on purpose or not, we don't know, because obviously, you know, we can get married, great, but they're like, but you shouldn't have children. So now they're saying, actually, yes, you should have children too, which is lovely.
It's just a massive step for just equality in general, equality for all. I feel like we've kind of come out of the dark ages.
We're in 2022.
Yeah, taking it. Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. But there are some kind of questions still, right?
Yes, there's lots of still questions around it. One was timeline, and you've told us that hopefully it's April 2023, which is quicker than we thought it could be. Secondly, it's, you know, will it actually be law, or is this just going to be a recommendation? What's going to really be implemented here? Because is it going to be sort of the same as the NICE guidelines where they recommend, but each CCG, or I don't know if they're all called IHBs now, obviously do their own thing, essentially. And also, even with that, like, you know, what happens to people who have already been paying for private treatments? Will they get refunded? Will they continue their treatment for free? What happens there?
And have they changed their age as well, which is another interesting one, because the NICE guidelines say 40, I believe, but each area CCG has their own. And ours is 35.
I'm 35. I turned 35 in May. So when we took our legal action, we knew I was going to get essentially too old for it to even apply to us. So it wasn't about us anyway. But now this is coming in place. I'm like, presume it doesn't apply to us anyway because I'm old.
Oh, babes, don't.
35 is but a spring chicken.
I agree.
Absolutely. Even 40, 45, even people are having children later.
They are.
It's not the same.
You know, I get asked a lot if I'm Whitney's mother.
She does. That's a true story.
Not ridiculous. Listen, before you go, how did you find the news? How did you find out? Just talk us through that moment in your household.
Well, funny story, Megan was actually getting acupuncture for fertility. and we got an email that came in, and I was trying not to stress Megan out. But I was absolutely buzzing with adrenaline and just could not cope. So I kind of had to flash her the phone.
She showed me the email, and I was, you know, your brain is like, what is she showing me? I'm really confused. What does this mean? Is this what I think it means? And then I was like, try not to like panic and not be obviously rude to the acupuncturist either. And I just wanted to, like, obviously leave the room and be like, oh, my God, and scream. But I had to lie there for 20 minutes in silence.
I had to leave.
And I sent Whitney home. She sat with me and I said, I think you need to go home because we can't cope just sat here in silence right now. And then when I get home, so then as I'm walking home, I'm, like, reading it and I'm like, oh, my God. And then I get home and I actually read, because we've been forwarded the email by a journalist, actually, who found out first. And, then I screamed when I read the paragraph because I was like, what does this mean? What are they saying? Because I was really confused.
And our lawyers put it into terms that
and our lawyers sent the email.
But it was the most amazing feeling. It was so many emotions in one. You know, we wanted to laugh. We wanted to cry. Where we were, you know, happy tears. It was just such an emotional journey for 2 years. And to know that, you know, all the campaigning we did and the help that we had from people along the way, that it's actually paid off. And when people speak up and do something about it, you know, change can happen. And, you know, people shouldn't be afraid to kind of fight for what's right. Because if no one, for instance, fought for gay rights, I wouldn't be able to marry Megan, you know, like just these little things can have such a massive impact.
Guys, congratulations. I hope you are cracking open the champagne tonight.
Thank you so much.
I know. I'm so flustered today. Nice. I'm probably coming out with all the wrong things.
But go to the shops now.
Just can't even.
Go buy it.
Well, I got 4 or 5 hours sleep because yesterday we're like, right, we better film and do content. So we have to go live tomorrow. And then, so in the heat wave of like 40 degrees, we're putting on makeup. We didn't have any makeup
and
on at this
point. And just sweating. It was just like a whirlwind. Basically.
Doing a confetti cannon, which Whitney managed to put completely in her face. And we took the photo. So you get that one shot. And then like we were like, but it was still quite amusing.
I love the fact that you had a confetti cannon just lying around.
It's literally been lying around for years.
We saved it.
and then suddenly I was like,
Megan
oh
said
God.
We have one chance to get it. Do not ruin this. And then I ruined it.
I love this. You know? Well, I've seen the photos and I think they look great. So
Thank you so much.
Mate, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm not bad. I am supposed to be hungover, but I'm not because I got the train to my friend's 40th last night.
Right.
And on the train was a very drunk woman who decided to start not one, but two brawls.
Ooh.
And my train was so badly delayed that I think...
What, because of her?
Yeah. We were stuck. I was stuck outside. Anyone who knows East Kent, I was stuck outside Broadstairs station on this train for over an hour.
Oh my God! Are you in the same carriage?
No, the action was further up, which I'm really grateful for because it did sound very dramatic and very shouty, screamy. Yeah, it was mad. And but I was in a carriage with a great bunch of people. There was a bunch of ladies who were on their way to a 80s party in Dreamland in Margate. Big shout out to those ladies if they're listening. They kept me going. They were amazing. They were like, come on, get to your party. But yeah, and it was just one of those nights where I was like, oh my God, what is happening? But I'm actually obviously now sitting here very grateful because it diminished my wine drinking abilities by, I would say, a good 50%.
Wow. And did you have a nice time at the party?
I did have a nice time at the party, yeah. It was good. Oh, it was nice. I'm glad. And we did a lot of talking about periods, interestingly. Which was quite good. But there was talk of moon cups. Remember those?
Yeah, I do remember those. They're a bit out of fashion now, aren't they?
Are they out of fashion? I suppose period pants are in fashion, aren't they? There was also talk of period pants, yeah.
I remember your moon cup experience.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't listened to the back catalogue, I had a moon cup get stock, which was, I'm going to say, borderline traumatic. But anyway, I'm not saying I'm not going to go there again, though, because I do think it's bad that we waste so many tampons. Anyway, and what else is going on in my brain is that I think it's quite amusing how I don't have sex that often, right? Because I'm not trying for a baby at the moment. So I'm on the kind of normal schedule of very married, not very often sex. But I happened to have sex recently, actually, like bang on ovulation. And there's just still a huge part of my brain that is like, yeah, but what if you're pregnant, mate? That was a perfectly timed shag. Well done. What if you're pregnant? I'm like, I'm not even trying to get pregnant, brain. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah. And then the other part of me is like, maybe this is what, you know, when everyone goes, if you stop thinking about it, it'll happen. Yeah. Maybe that's what this is, maybe. Although now I'm obviously thinking about it a lot and arguing with myself about it. So,
yeah. Well, you guys are cursed with subfertility, aren't you? Rather than like infertility, like, there's some sperm there.
There is some sperm there, yeah. There is.
And they did keep going, oh yeah, you could try a little bit.
They told us that it could happen naturally a number of times, but it never did. Not for want of trying.
So, but then I imagine there's still a little voice that's like, could happen.
It's the voice
of that doctor.
Yeah. Quite a big voice. I can see the doctor now going, oh, you know, it could happen, blah, 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 doing the little doodle. Jay Rams doing his doodle of the amount of sperm that were there. Anyway, it's just quite funny, isn't it? It's like, fucking hell, I'm not even in that space. But here I am, you know, thinking, maybe.
Mate, I still get it. And I'm literally, like, barren.
You're not barren.
No, that's not the word. Oh, dear. But I'm, like... sterile, that's the word.
What's the word I would say to describe you? Like you're squeezed?
I'm non-functioning.
Like you're not, it's too narrow. You're too squeezed.
Yeah, I'm too squeezed. I'm mechanically unable.
Yeah, yeah. Until the part of your brain wakes up and goes, yeah, but what if?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's really
but anyway, I'll shut up now because that's not really news, is it? That's the biggest non-story ever. Anyway, Emmy, what about you? What's going on?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I wish to report a miracle. My period came on time during an IVF cycle.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
No. That's not happened in recorded history.
No, it literally hasn't. But here it is, bang on time. Or is it? Because... I like that whole thing of what is the first day of my cycle has always been an issue for me, right? Because I've always been a spotty one. I've always done spotting.
Spotter.
Yeah,
she's a spotter.
And like, I've got to say, this is like so unproven, but since having COVID, like the first time and also the jabs, my cycle has been a bit haywire, which is frustrating. By haywire, I don't mean... you know, it comes late. It's actually been bang on time, like every month for like the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But it's just a bit like, it'll like be really, really, really light for the first few days and then insanely heavy or it'll start insanely heavy. There's no like pattern of bleeding.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's annoying.
It's really annoying. So I've been spotting for the last few days and I know that what they say is it's got to be fresh, like heavy, fresh blood, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't count spotting.
Yeah. But this is like heavy spotting. So it's like, it's more, I love that I'm broadcasting about this. It's more watery than like, you know, proper period blood. Mm-hmm. But it's like bright red and like there's a lot of it. So is that cycle day one? Oh, and also, so what happens if I start taking estrogen too early? And what happens if I start taking it too late? Like, could that have a knock-on effect? I don't know. Because so
have you started?
Well, I'm bleeding.
Have you started taking estrogen?
No, I think I might start tomorrow because I've now been spotting for 3 days.
Okay.
So.
That's a good question. If only we had Professor Tim on tap.
Yeah, I know. What I was going to like message you and be like, can we just send him a little supplementary question? But I just feel like what I actually need is a full-on conversation with him where I can be like, yeah, but what about if this happens?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you just need his WhatsApp so you can just be like fling him the occasional question rather than having to know in advance. Because you don't know what questions you're going to have once you've started the cycle either.
No. And we submit all our questions to him at the beginning of the series.
Yeah. So we're fucked in that case.
Yeah, exactly. This is basically why I started this podcast. Was to have an
I reckon slide into his DMs.
Yeah. Do you reckon I should be like,
yeah, man, I reckon you should.
Let's talk about spotting.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I would love it if the clinic had gone, right, here is exactly what cycle day one looks like. Here is the consistency, a like long description of the consistency of the type of blood that you should be having.
Mm.
And I know it's different for everyone, but like maybe if I could have had a conversation with the consultant, she would have told me, maybe if she had asked me about my period. Like when we first went to see Louis, our acupuncturist,
yeah,
one of the first things she did was like really discuss my period with me.
Yeah, she does.
Like
that.
It feels very like holistic. Feels like, and you know, I've talked about this before, but it was one of the first times I really felt listened to and like someone was listening to my like real anxieties.
But there's a huge difference, and it does all tell a story, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we should get Maisie Hill on the period. Fucking power. Amazing. Yeah.
Maybe she'd tell us what's like.
She could set us straight. She could set you straight right now, probably.
Yeah, she would be good.
DM her as well.
Yeah. Okay, and it's the first time my fucking period.
Slide into her DMs too.
The thing is that going into the cycle, I've been like, I'm just going to be so chilled about it. Like, I'm a little bit hungover today because I drank too much last night. And that's like how chilled I'm being about this cycle.
Yeah, I mean, you are quite chilled.
Yeah, I'm trying.
But
really
this is confusing because this is like a question that you actually need answering, really.
Yeah, but I used to stay up till 3 a.m. Googling it. And guess what I was doing at 3 o'clock this morning? Fucking Googling it. Googling. Like, I've written a book about this now. I should know better. Why am I Googling this stuff? And also, FYI, the Google search results really haven't changed. Like, there's still the same forum posts from, like, 2016.
Yeah, someone needs to fix that. But then there's some questions that don't get answered.
Start a podcast that addresses these questions.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do it, man. We're trying really hard. But all of the gamut of questions is so big and wide. It's impossible to catch them all.
Anyway, I'm just like frustrated with myself for feeling frustrated about the same thing I used to feel frustrated about when I've decided I'm not going to get frustrated about this stuff. It's very frustrating.
From frustrated Emma. Frustrated in Whitstable.
Yeah, frustrated, comma, Whitstable. So yes, that's okay. My situation.
Nice. Right now, well, thanks for letting us know.
Mm-hmm. So I'll let you know when I start my period next week.
Or when you hear back from Tim. Or Maisie Hill.
I'll be like, I'm doing this because journalism.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course, yes. No personal reasons whatsoever.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb.
Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Amy, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me to be on it.
No, we're honoured to have you. I'm kind of fangirling. But people will probably know you from your kind of beautiful prints on Interior Design Masters. And we'll talk a bit about that in a later. But you caught my attention and everyone else's when you revealed that you applied to the show because you've been suffering from infertility. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to start with Amy. Tell us about your journey.
Oh gosh, how long do you have?
As like long as you want, honey.
2 hours special. Oh goodness. Well, I first fell pregnant. Actually, to start off with, my husband and I had been trying to conceive. And actually, we fell pregnant quite quickly. It only took us about 6 months with the first one. So that was kind of the summer of 2017. And then I first fell pregnant in the January of 2018. Everything was going fine with that pregnancy up until about 10 and a half weeks. And then I noticed a bit of bleeding that made me think that there was something wrong. So I went to my hospital that I was registered at, which was Chelsea and Westminster at the time, to their kind of early pregnancy department. And they scanned me and they said that it hadn't grown. So there was no heartbeat showing, which obviously it should by that point. Basically they thought that I was losing it, but you come back the week after obviously to do a second scan to make sure there's, even though they know, I think they just probably do it to make you feel better. So we came back the next week, there had been no growth, and so that first one was just offered whether I wanted like a DNC or whether I wanted just to manage it at home. So I took the at home management, which was obviously just the pessaries. And that's, I mean, it's different for everyone. I did not enjoy it at all. I thought it was quite painful. And then
I think most people don't.
Yeah, I think so. Do you know when you get these medical manuals and they're like, manage it at home with paracetamol? And it's like, I was like the exorcist.
I felt awful.
I felt
it's funny because people say, oh, it'll be like a heavy period. And then from what we've heard, that is not usually the case.
No.
I'm quite comforted in a strange way just to know that, because I feel like I've got a really good pain threshold.
Yeah.
And then that came along and I was like, sweet baby Jesus, this is hell. It's just as hell on wheels.
Oh, God.
It was bad. So then anyway, that was the first one. I went back a week later. It hadn't gone. All the pregnancy had not been removed. And so I took more pills to try and get rid of the... This is just the beginning. So that was the first one. Anyway, it went eventually. And then I managed to get pregnant again that summer. So you'll see a common theme that is not the getting pregnant that is my problem. It's the keeping them in there. So the second pregnancy came in about June of 2018. And then I lost that one quite quickly. The bleeding started quicker and then it got rid of itself basically. So I didn't have to go back to the hospital. I went for scans, but then not back to the hospital for that one. That one went. And then I had probably about the next year, I fell pregnant once the next year in the October. So it was about a year and a half until we got pregnant again. So there is some element of infertility, I guess, because it's longer periods of time. I should say I'm 39 now as well. So maybe that, I guess, my reserves are good, but you just never know as you maybe get a bit older. And that third one kind of came and went pretty quickly as well. Just the same as the second. And after I had the second one, we went for tests and they identified that I had a bit of a niche blood clotting disorder called PI1. I don't know if you've heard of it before.
Well, we did look it up.
Oh, you did? did you find anything helpful?
No.
No.
It's like medical jargon. It's like, what good is this for me as a human?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a super cute name.
I know, right? Pi 1 yeah. Or Pi 2. And then there's different, I guess there's different variants as well. So I don't think MIME is a great one.
How did you, like, what were the tests that showed that, and how did your doctors know to test for that?
So basically I went to the NHS and they wouldn't do anything until I'd had 3 or 4. My husband actually had someone that he knew from his previous work that had had tests done, and she recommended a specialist called Raj Rai, who does part
St. Mary's.
Yes, that's St. Mary's, yeah. Yes. We booked an appointment with him and we did tests through him. So he just, we hadn't had any before, so it was kind of like the basic lot plus extras if you go private. So we did have to throw a bit of money at it. But then kind of eventually got those, that information back. Everything else looked pretty much okay. Apart from that, I've got a bit of PCO as well. I don't know if it's, they don't call it PCOS if you don't have the other symptoms, I think. So yeah, so I have cysts in my ovaries, but they're not, I don't have the other symptoms basically that would make it a syndrome. But apart from that, it was kind of just fine at that point.
And what do they, just for our listeners, what does and for me who hasn't read up about Pi 1, how does that impact you?
So Pi 1, mine is homozygous 4G over 4G, which I guess is just another fancy bit of terminology for like the variant that it is. So it's basically just a clotting disorder that I think means that you can't sustain the pregnancy because there's not enough correct blood flow to the placenta.
Okay.
From what I understand. And so when I do get pregnant, I also inject with blood thinners every day, in order to try and keep it and at least combat that aspect. But again, they say, you know, this could be a factor or this might not be a factor. So it's always quite like vague. I'm sure you've felt that through meeting any doctors. They just, they say it could be this or it might not be this. Or,
yeah.
So there's never anything concrete.
Yeah.
So I got diagnosed with that, and then I lost the third one in that October. I actually quit my job because I thought maybe that had something to do with it, because it was just, I worked in fashion and it was hellish. So I thought, I'm going to just quit this job. And then I fell pregnant straight away, which is probably was maybe what was preventing me from, you know, the stress of it was maybe stopping me from getting pregnant, but it certainly didn't help with keeping them, if that makes sense. And then 2020, we kind of just before the pandemic, was that 2020? God, it's so long, isn't it?
2019, early 2020 maybe.
So into 2020, my husband and I decided we would try and go along the route of IVF, because in my borough, I live in Richmond, as you know, under Richmond Council, and you have to be 38 by the time you start your IVF, and you only have one free cycle basically. So which is crazy, because you could live in the next street in another borough and then be like in your 40s and have more. I don't know, London's
mad.
A bit messed
it
up.
Is not fair at all.
And so we started doing the test early 2020, and they identified that I had adenomyosis. Is that how you say it? So it's essentially that, like endometriosis, but it grows within your lining rather than out with your uterus. I think that's right. So I've got adenomyosis, although I've had further investigations and I don't think it's bad enough that it's causing that it's not allowing implantation, if that makes sense.
Right.
So then 2020 kind of came and went. I didn't fall pregnant at all, and then I fell pregnant again at the beginning of maybe in like February of 2021. And then I lost that one really quickly. I think I was pregnant for like a week and then it just went. And then I just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. This is literally enough.
That's four in total?
Yeah, four in total. And so I just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm not going to be, my ovaries cannot be in charge of my destiny for any more of this year. And I think you do, I mean, you do lose yourself, because it's kind of all you think about a lot of the time, and it impacts your friendships, your relationships, your kind of your every week,
your career.
I think that's it. It's, and also, do you know, I think the most like profound thing I've come to realize is that I just, you can't escape it.
No.
So you wake up every morning, and I just felt like oh, not you again. Do you know what I mean? Because you just see yourself and you think, oh, bloody hell, it's still you. Like, you're not a different, you're not a different person, and you can't fix it. And I just thought, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And so that's primarily what made me apply to be on the show, because I just thought, I just need to, I didn't want to know where my cycle was happening. I didn't want to time it within a day, or and then be like doing ovulation sticks and doing pregnancy tests like 20 a month or whatever. And I think I always get really like acute pregnancy feelings when it's worked. Like I almost don't need to take a test and know when it's been like a successful month. They just seem to be really extreme. I don't know why. So I can kind of always tell. And then obviously when you feel them going, you know that it's also going.
God,
I think
so
that's
hard.
A bit of a tough thing. So then that was the fourth one, and then that was why I went on the show. And then we've just done a round of IVF, so that has not worked as well. So
Amy.
Yeah, it's, do you know what, I want to say it's such a good place with it now, because I just think, like, you can only try so much, and you can only put yourself through so much, and I'll continue to do the IVF until someone tells me you're not a person that can get pregnant. And I don't know whether they just don't tell you that because they don't want to have to tell you, or whether it's just but I mean, I'm in a good place. I'll just keep trying, and having done that last year and kind of putting myself first and rediscovering myself, as completely cheesy as that sounds, I've almost I'm at peace with where I'm at on that journey. I don't feel like it's out of control, and I don't feel like
Can we dissect how you've reached that? Because I think almost everyone who's listening will want to know.
Oh gosh,
will want
okay.
some tips.
I don't even know. I think it has been in the last year. I think also what helps is my sister has four kids, and my husband's sister has four kids, so we don't actually want for any little genetic people that are like us, because we've got a ton, you know. And I think I've come to the realization as well of probably getting to, I'm 40 this year, and I feel like I've not really been a woman who's desperate for a baby. I know that maybe sounds
controversial.
What I mean? I'm not desperate. I wouldn't do anything. Do you know what I mean? And I maybe would have felt that a few years ago. I maybe would have been absolutely in that mindset. But now I just feel, gosh, I've got like a lot of bloody good stuff. I've got a great husband. I've got a lovely like marriage and a great friendship with him. And I just feel like, do you know what? If it doesn't happen, like, I'll just go on holiday more, or, you know, I'll buy those Prada shoes that I've been eyeing up. You know, not that that's a replacement, but it's also just, I think it's just stopping and, like, appreciating all the other, sometimes you get so caught up in stuff that by the end of it, you don't even know, you don't check in with yourself to make sure it's still what you want, and it's still, you're absolutely on that journey for the correct reasons. I think
do you feel
that's
like,
important.
Do you feel like going on the show helped to kind of change your mindset?
Oh, I think going on the show really did change my mindset, because it was the first thing I'd done for myself, pretty much. Like, maybe ever. That sounds really like pathetic, and I don't mean it in that way. I'm quite a people pleaser, and I'm quite they would always describe me on the show as not meek, but they would always say I'm placid. Like, I was kind of like a placid pony. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, I am quite. And it made me also think, God, is that I actually who I am now? Like, have I lost that little feistiness? And I really had, like, part, it was only that reflection that allowed me to really notice what had gone. Like, I didn't, if someone had stopped me and said, you know, are you doing okay, I'd have been like, yeah, absolutely. But now looking back, it's only kind of with that time that it's allowed me to kind of like, oh God, like, I really was in a bad place, I was really struggling. But you just kind of sweep it under the carpet in order to just keep going on your journey, don't you?
It's incredible that you kind of awaken that passion almost again, because as you say you kind of go into it's almost like, you know, you're not advancing in any the way that you want to advance. You kind of go into, like, you're stuck, and so, like, being able to kind of pull you out almost by finding this thing that you love doing, and, like, going on the show, which must have been such an incredible, exciting experience that, you know, it takes you away. And it does sound like, you know, you do sound like you're in so much a better place now.
Yeah, it's and incredible. I think also it took me, I think it maybe took me to go on the show because it took me physically away. So I was away every other week for 4 months filming somewhere else in the country. So even if it was a good time of the month to, you know, I was ovulating or whatever, I wasn't home anyway. You know, I was in a Premier Lodge in Birmingham or whatever, you know, so there was nobody, you know, so you're not even if you think you might try that month. And to be honest, I didn't really want to. Because I can fall pregnant, I didn't want us to really be trying over that time, because what if I did fall pregnant and then I lost another one, and then I just didn't want it to kind of like cloud what I was trying to achieve for myself, which was kind of get myself back.
Fair enough.
So but yeah, I think I've got to that point from, I've seen at the beginning of last year, actually after the fourth one, I just started to throw money at the problem, which I'm sure a lot of people do, and you just find any expert that will fit you in, and then you go and pay your 250 quid or whatever, and then you get them to tell you what they think might be wrong with you, which is always like, I mean, I've got really, really bad allergies, so I think one doctor thinks that my body rejects the pregnancy because it thinks it's like a foreign body. And then another one, that my natural killer cells, I did tests on them and they're really high, and so I've had drips to kind of bring them back to a normal level, but then the other doctors don't believe in that, so you end up seeing so many,
so confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, because you see so many really intelligent people who've written books and do seminars and who, you know, everyone listens to, but they don't all think the same. So it's just hard to know. And no one's trying to like brainwash you into their way of thinking, but they're just saying, you know, this is the evidence I have. And it's like, okay, because the guy around the corner says he's got different evidence.
Yeah.
So you're kind of just at the mercy of what they tell you a little bit.
Absolutely. And how, if you don't mind me asking, how did your rounds go? Like, do you have embryos in the freezer that you're thinking about popping
in? The kind of unfortunate thing with the first, with that first round, it was a really good fresh embryo. So it was kind of like a 4AA, I think it's called. Is that right? 4AA.
Yes.
Yes, it was a good, it was a good fresh one. And we've got no other problems. Like, my husband's fine, my egg reserves are fine. So from that point of view, it seems like, I think I was hopeful. I mean, you're always, the percentages get less each time. So I think I was probably like 3% hopeful that it would work. And I could feel it. I could feel really strong symptoms at the beginning, but then probably for about a week and a half, and then it just dropped off. So so we've got two more frozens. We've got 2-3 BBs in the freezer. And then, so we've got one frozen round, which is either going to be next month, I think, or August, because you have to have one, you know, like one cycle break. So we've got those one, we've got one more, I think, with NHS, and then I don't know how it works. Like, do you take your frozen embryo somewhere else if the NHS don't pay for it? Or I literally don't know.
You can do that, or you do it at the same clinic and you just pay them.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I don't really want to be walking about with those little like DJ boxes. looking for a clinic. So we've definitely got the next one. But also I'm kind of they said at the last, because they measure, you know how they measure your lining like every other day. So my lining dropped, actually. So this specialist thinks there might be an issue with lining. So it's just basically a whole big clusterfuck of like issues, basically. So I've I mean, what can you do? Like, I would literally be in a little dark hole crying every day, and I have been. But you know, you need to like, there is more to life. I think that's what I've seen recently.
And it's so hard to realize that.
I don't think I did realize that.
When you're in that place,
you just get deeper and deeper and deeper into it. So I'm massive admiration for you for managing to pull yourself out.
Thanks. I mean, it's been like almost 5 years of, but then you think, gosh, 5 years I've spent, you know, it is important, and we still do want to start a family. Like, that is still one of my priorities, but it's now not the be all and end all. And I think it's probably just taking me that long to kind of get there.
Well, it's like a flotation device that you've got now, isn't it? Something that's going to keep you afloat because you've got something else to get out of bed for.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And did you talk to people on the show about it before you, like, did you go into it thinking, I'm going to say this on the show, I'm going to reveal to the world what I've been going through. Or did it come to you halfway through? Or
yeah, not at all. I think it was probably around episode 5, which was the Shepherd's Huts, and I felt like I was getting myself back. And it was kind of like and happening in real time, obviously, because I was kind of just realizing that I was gone to start with and that now I was coming back to how I was. And I think loads of people might have noticed it before, and I think you withdraw from a lot of things. I withdrew from like going anywhere or seeing friends because it becomes too painful, because one after the next they all get pregnant, and then they get pregnant with their second, and then they get pregnant with their third or whatever, and you're still, it's like Groundhog Day. So I think it was literally by about episode 5 in the show that I felt like, oh, I'm coming back. And then that was kind of when I realised I'd gone. So I think when I shared with the producers that that was part of my story, it wasn't till much later on. So we didn't actually discuss it until maybe episode 5 or 6. That I'm not happy to chat about it, but just it definitely wasn't my intention. But I think it's good to be open, and I think it's amazing the fact that you have this podcast and you have experts and, you know, different guests on that can kind of share their stories, because I think I didn't really have access to, or maybe wasn't looking for that in 2018, but if I'd known that miscarriage itself was a possibility, I don't think I'd have been as shocked. I think I didn't have anyone around me that had really had one. Yeah, and I think probably since then it's gone, people speak about it a lot more, but I think it's definitely been like, you know, a progressive thing. So
thank you. The number of messages that we got though when you appeared on the show talking about it was, I just think people find it such a relief when it's just kind of talked about in places that people don't expect it. Like people come to us to talk about infertility, but if you're watching Interior Design Masters and suddenly someone's talking about it.
Yeah.
I think it's like a lovely surprise when you're going through it.
I'm glad it actually came across like that, because I think I was a bit worried, you know, because you do think, is this the platform to talk about it? Like it's important to me and it's really shaped my journey and my reason for coming on the show. And I think that's probably why I did feel like I should share it, because I wanted people to understand that, like, kind of the journey that I'd been on throughout was just, it felt incredible, but it was so personal. It wasn't about my paint colours. It wasn't about who liked what, you know, my scaffolding or whatever. It was about the fact that I had no confidence when I started. Mm. And I think the miscarriages and being told there's all of these things wrong with you, you doubt your physical ability as a human. It's not even about as a woman, you know, you doubt that you're actually good at anything. So the fact that people were glad that I shared it was like overwhelmingly lovely.
I'm sure they must have been. What was the response like? Did you get a tsunami of Instagram messages?
Yeah, I feel like I've still not gone through them all. It sounds terrible, but I'll go through maybe like, I spent the first day, because it was just, you know, overload. I spent about 9 hours on the first day just going and replying to everyone. And then I realised I couldn't do that every day, because they could be the same amount tomorrow. So that's why I eventually just did a post on Instagram to say, you know, thank you to everyone who's messaged me, and I'm like doing my best to respond. But just to say, because also I'm just like nobody that, you know, I'm not someone, like I've just come into this. It's not like I'm used to getting any of these messages. So I didn't want people to think that I was ignoring them or that I was a dickhead. You know, I wasn't taking it for granted. It just takes a long time.
Yeah, it's a lot to take on, because, you know, nobody knew who you were before the show, and then all of a sudden you've got that, plus then you've got this additional layer of revealing that about yourself. It's a lot. Well done.
Thank you. I feel like it is important to just chat more. We should all chat more.
We should.
That's what we are absolutely about.
That's what you're here for.
Exactly. Emma, do you want to, there was something you wanted to ask Amy about a certain
What is Alan Carr like?
Do you know what, he's so lovely.
He just seems so sweet.
He's genuinely like you, like he just, when you're obviously backstage, he would talk to us all, like he would talk to the producers, he would talk to his makeup artist or whoever, you know, everyone who's on set is just like a friend. And so when he asks you things on the show, he's genuinely interested. Like, why did you do that? And it comes across as like he's quizzing you, but actually when the camera stopped, he's like, why have you done that? Like, where did you get it done? Like, I like this idea. Like, he's mega chatty.
He's quite sarcastic as well, though.
Oh, he's cheeky. Yeah, we had a couple of like. It's hard because you obviously film for like about 10 hours in the day, and then interviews and stuff, and so you have so many visits from Alan over the period of time that you're in the actual episode. So you never know what's going to make it on there, and it's always just like the funniest or the best or whatever. But he's so lovely. He's genuinely a really nice man. I get on with him really nicely.
I mean, you just said you were filming for 10 hours, but like it looks so incredibly stressful.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I think it's the beginning's like a shock. When you go into that first episode, you're like, the hub is in Brighton and I just drive from London, so it wasn't that far for me. But then, and I was thinking they'll keep that first episode local. And then they're like, they do announce that it's all, what you see is genuine. You know, we find out when, you know, there's not a lot of time. And they're like, Manchester, tomorrow. And you're like, what?
Oh my God.
I've got to drive like 5.5 hours tomorrow. I've got, you know, so I'm driving. So we're all together at that time when there was all of us and just, it's mayhem. But it's the best, honestly, the best thing I've ever done. It was so much fun.
Do they put you on a bus or do you have to make your way there yourself?
Oh no, you drive, you get a van.
Oh, you get a van.
Great. Yeah, they give you van because I think during COVID it was the best thing to give everyone vans and then you basically just transport yourself around. So I think that worked for them the season before. So they just said you're all getting vans.
Here's your van.
Here's your van. Check Google Maps. Bon chance.
That's and then so you're hilarious.
All... and so you and I've been following you and Banjo's exploits on Instagram. So you're still friends.
I love him. Yes, we're still really good. I'm really good friends with. I'm friends with all of them. They're all like really wonderful people. Actually, everyone's so different. And the way they kind of cast us in a way, we're all kind of such different people. But there's kind of that commonality of the fact that we're all probably a bit wild and just love design. So, but I'm really close still with Banjo and Fran. Fran's in London as well, so I see her often. And then Banjo, I speak to both of them probably like at least every other day. Maybe sometimes, or every day.
Brilliant. Well, we live near Margate, so I've been over to inspect your handiwork. A few times.
Charlie's. Oh God, Charlie's is a tough one.
Yeah, it was.
it was a bit of an uphill struggle. It's a lovely little place, and the family are so incredible that own it. But then Paul and Bandra just got this wonderful, big, airy restaurant with character and beauty, and then and now Amy and Fran.
It did seem a bit unfair.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that, but yeah, a little bit.
Oh, you did brilliantly. Well done.
Thank you so much.
We loved watching it.
I mean, there is a serious question here, which is, you know, do you feel like what you've been through has influenced the way you design and the way you create?
I think I'm probably a bit less precious, but I think it just actually comes with age. Because I think I'm like a Virgo, and so by nature I'm like horribly self-critical. So nobody can tell me I'm shitter than I already think I am. So I feel like that is fair enough. But yeah, I think probably just getting a bit older, I'm less, I care less, and I'm a bit more used to people critiquing me. I never wanted to share my work before because I was worried about what people thought. So I think, and probably is influenced a bit by the decisions that I've made going through fertility as well, that I just care less what people think.
Yeah, good.
Maybe that in itself brings a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be, especially when you're on a show that you're literally being judged.
Yeah, all the time. I used to be, because I was full-time for a long time in fashion, and then I went freelance, and then you get used to getting critiqued every day just by a different design house about how they want to change something or how, and you just get used to not caring so much. You get, you know, I don't take anything personally. So the show was kind of like, if I got told off or they didn't like it, I was like, meh, it's subjective. So okay.
What's your opinion?
You can keep your opinion, but sure.
I'm gonna maybe end by asking you for a bit of advice. I think you know, you've so sadly had four miscarriages, and there are going to be people out there listening who it might happen to them too. What was your advice to kind of keep going when that happens? Did you have something that you would do afterwards to kind of help yourself get over it? Not that you can ever get over it, but what was your kind of coping mechanism?
I don't know. It's a hard one. I think just allow yourself to, it sounds silly, but just to feel what you're feeling. Because I think with miscarriage, there comes, there's a lot of anger at the situation. There's anger at yourself for not being able to do it. And there's kind of like, it's small parts of like guilt. Like I felt guilty when I was having drinks because I hadn't had drinks for 3 months. You know, there's all of these things that, but it's just to like allow yourself to feel that way and just to not get, it sounds bad, but not get too deep with it. Like don't get too deep within it. Because I think if you allow yourself to, you have to remain positive and you have to keep that little spark in yourself, you know, to keep persevering. And whether it's what you're doing now or to find something new, I think that really helps, is to kind of give yourself a distraction. And I wrote quite a lot actually, which I don't. My sister's a writer and she writes beautifully, and I was just the one that could draw. So she is like the super smart one. But actually I wrote quite a lot, and I felt like I wrote a letter to each miscarriage. I don't think I've ever told anyone this actually, so it's like an exclusive. But I did write, and it's funny, it's bizarre actually looking back on that first one, that I can feel that emotion. And I can feel, it was just, I wrote a letter to it and the situation, and then to fast forward to like the fourth one, maybe there's in my head there's not much to put pen to paper to, because it's kind of less emotional now. But I think it's just finding an outlet that works for you. Find an outlet, whatever it is, and it might be something you don't expect.
And what have you done with those letters?
They are, well, I've wrote a bit, I've probably got about 7,000 words. I wrote a bit of, like, I've written a bit that I don't know what I'm going to do with. I don't know what I should do, if anyone ever wants to see it, or whether it's just me, like, with my scribblings. But yeah, I've probably got about 7,000-8,000 words of just, like, and I think I almost write it as, like, from a point of view of just looking back. I don't even know how to articulate it because I'm not a writer, but it's kind of like a retrospective, I guess, is the best word. I look over it now and again, and I actually look over it to just remind myself of how far I've come in a way, because it's kind of, I know that I've evolved from that person that I was then, and that I feel much stronger now. And I think that's quite a good reminder actually.
It's almost say like it's a nice thing to have, but it is a nice thing to have.
I think there's no harm in looking back to it and seeing how you were in that point, and then, but then also seeing now that you've now, I'm now 4 or 5 years on and I've got here and I feel strong, and to know that there is that at the end of it is, I think, is really good.
Oh, well, Amy, I think that's an amazing place to leave it, and very inspirational, actually. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, yeah, Amy, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. As a big interior design master's fan, this was a good moment for me. but I think also for legions of women out there, it's good to hear your story and your point of view.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's wonderful.
Now it's time for IVF. What the F?
What the F?
It's harder to sing that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't going to sing it, actually. I wasn't in a sing-songy mood.
Well, you know, I just thought I'd go for more drama.
Yeah. No, I like that, actually. It sounded like the introduction to, like, a kind of film noir.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's comedy.
I was going for more, like, a cheap ITV kind of Busters programme. IVF Busters. Head dye. What are you meant to do?
We're talking about hair dye.
Yeah.
Right. So you and I had different approaches to this when we were doing it last time, because you were you weren't big on dyeing your hair at the time.
I tried to go natural on my shampoos, and I tried to avoid dyeing my hair. I mean, I still did. It was still blonde, and I ain't blonde. But
yeah,
I think I definitely avoided it in the times around IVF, do you know what I mean?
Whereas I was a bleach, like full bleach blonde, got John to do my hair every 2 months, and he would just paint it directly onto my scalp.
Yeah.
So I was like less like that.
The cowboy approach.
It was very cheap.
It was, and your hair, to be fair, looked great.
It did. And now I'm in a situation where actually, unwittingly, because I had COVID when I was supposed to have my hair appointment,
oh, no.
I'm actually haven't been for, have my hair done for like 3 months. And I'm not having my hair done until mid-September. So I actually
what
might
is
be.
The embryologist going to think about you?
Well, I've got to say my roots aren't looking good. It's not a great situation. But, you know, I'll be fine. I'll get over it.
Yeah, you'll be fine. But fair, we have had people ask us quite often, actually, whether they should dye their hair during this whole process. So here's Professor Tim to answer the question.
So with modern hair dyes, there's not going to be an issue having that done during an IVF cycle or during pregnancy. I think you know, check on the box with all this sort of stuff, just to make sure it's a standard type preparations. And if you're going to a salon, then check with the staff there in terms of what chemicals perhaps they're using. But I think from an IVF or early pregnancy perspective, it's not something that you should be worried about.
It's the end of the show. The show is over, the end of the show. I thought I'd do like a, because this is like obviously like this morning or something.
Yeah, okay, right. Because the thing is, Gelps, like you quite often profess to not be very good at singing and not enjoy singing that much. And you've been very sing-songy on this show.
I am always honestly quite sing-songy. I don't have a nice voice though. I don't have a good range. Do you know what I mean?
Lovely voice.
Thanks, mate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just to reiterate, it's the end of the show. Who are we talking to next week?
We're talking to Knackered Knackers.
Knackered Knackered Knackers.
Sean, lovely Sean, has an Instagram account called Knackered Knackers, and he basically, he kind of does what we do, really. He, like, tells his story with humour.
Yes, he is. He's good for the lads, you know what I mean? And he's all about the don't have fucking shame, this isn't your fault, which is, you know, all really good. I'm glad he's out there telling his story.
Yeah,
so he's a good guy, and he's just a thoroughly lovely chap.
Yeah, he is. And what I really liked about our interview was that he was just so honest and candid about his experiences.
Yeah.
And I found it, like, because I've just been editing it, and I found it quite emotional to listen back to, which, you know, you don't always get from the lads.
No, you don't. No. It's a good episode. It's really great.
Yeah, absolutely. In the meantime, thank you to Amy, especially because she has sent us some gorgeous presents.
Oh my God, Amy sent us some really beautiful tableware linens, which is something, I'll be honest, I've never owned. Now I do. I'm really glad.
Yeah, I mean, if you are into that kind of thing, look on her website, amydavisdesign.com.
Yeah, please do, because there's some really beautiful napkins, which we are now proud owners of.
Yes. Thank you to Acos for hosting.
Thank you to Wagon for just jumping on like that and giving us their very quick response to some brilliant news.
Have a good week, and we'll see you all.
Indeed. See you next Tuesday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.